Hello and welcome to the Critical Eye Asia podcast, Inspiring Leaders to Succeed. These podcasts, part review, part expansion, engaging on subjects at the forefront of business leaders' minds. Always topical, thought-provoking, enabling you to learn from leaders and peers, delivering amazing results. So we are here today to explore navigating complexity as a senior leader at a global and local level. And we appreciate and know the best leadership teams understand how to deliver on both short and long-term objectives. They're also able to adapt quickly to changing customer demands and are constantly seeking ways to improve business performance. This, however, is not easy to create. It all sounds very simple. And especially now, when we have to operate at such a pace. And this perhaps explains why 87% of attendees at a recent Critical Eye Asia Leadership Forum acknowledged that their top teams need to be more agile. So what we're going to do to explore in our conversation today on this podcast, what it means to build a high-performing leadership team and the need for alignment and trust, as well as the importance of ensuring senior executives throughout the organization are open to new ideas and insights. So, really, really delighted to introduce you to Min-Yi Tan, who's SVP Global Mobility Network at Shell, and Bhavna Gandhi, HRD Corporate Services, Corporate Service, I should say, APAC Sodexo. And what I'm going to do is ask them to introduce themselves and also to explain a little bit about their current role and area of specialism and interest. So Bhavna, if I can get you to introduce yourself firstly, that'd be fantastic.
Thanks, Charlie. I think you've introduced pretty much what I do, but once again, thanks for hosting us. My name is Bhavna. I'm based in Singapore and leading the HR function for corporate services segment in Sodexo for APAC. My area of specialization has always been HR. I've studied HR, and from last 17 years, this is what I'm doing, and I'm very passionate about what I do. My special area of interest is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And second area is mentoring and coaching leaders. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much indeed, Bhavna. Now, Min-Yi, over to you. You're both in Singapore, and as we're both under the sort of, you're both under the same red dot. So I know you're going to catch up because you didn't know each other beforehand. So I know you're going to be catching up afterwards. I think I'm going to try and get over there and join you, by the way. Min-Yi, over to you.
Hey, thanks, Charlie, for the invitation, and I'm really looking forward to catching up with you and Bhavna very shortly. Just a quick introduction of my current adventure. I have the privilege and responsibility to oversee enterprise acquisitions and the life cycle of about 46,000 service stations and 10,000 for now charge points in 80 countries in my portfolio right now. As you can see, it is really the public face of the Shell brand. And in leading mobility network globally, I strive to answer two basic questions. What do the customers want? And where do they want them today and in the future? And so over and above this current business delivery role, I also have the privilege of two corporate roles, one in Singapore as the director of Shell Eastern Petroleum, and another one as the chairman of the board in Filipinas Shell. And so these things are certainly keeping me busy, and I'm still enjoying this set of adventures today.
Thank you thank you very, very much indeed, Min-Yi. And as I said before, real pleasure to have you discussing this subject. As a starter, I suppose a quick comment when you reflect on your progress as a leader, because we're talking about, as a senior leader, what one needs to do and how you respond to situations you have found yourself in. What do you think is now for you the most challenging part of your role? Who'd like to be able to respond to that first, Minyi?
I can give it a shot. I would say that especially over the last 2 years, it really is around navigating uncertainty and ambiguity. And this is not just about organizational changes. It is also about what we all have to experience through the current COVID situation. The pandemic hopefully will turn endemic in due course, but it is still not there yet. And of course, the most recent situation between Russia and Ukraine speaks about ambiguities in its most extreme. So I would say right now, apart from trying to deliver performance, it is about navigating our teams through these uncertainties.
Thank you very much indeed, Minyi. Bhavna.
I think building on to what Minyi said is the rate of complexity, what we've seen, and uncertainty, which we've seen, is unprecedented. I think the entire humanity had never experienced this much quantum of the change and uncertainty, what we've experienced in last 2 years. I think that's the biggest challenge for any leader, including myself. And our ability to anticipate, I think one of the key role of a leader is to give direction. And you can only give direction when you are able to see what's coming next. And I think that ability of leadership has been deeply impacted. So I think that is one challenge which I'm struggling with, Charlie, at this point in time.
No, thank you. And I think we both described environments within which we've got to be very, very flexible in the way we need to deliver what's required. How do you feel about ensuring not only you're flexible, but also the team around you are suitably flexible? I think that's something that's a real challenge.
I think, you know, I'm going to make a comment. I think where the structures or the organizations, how it has been set up, it's always been like a pyramid, a fixed structure. And that's how organization has always worked and structured around, and then the processes. And it, in the past, it has always been static. It doesn't, and where we are navigating, it's a very dynamic and fluid environment. So I think what we've also realized that structures and our governances also has to become digital and fluid every single day. So I think, you know, you talked about teams in place. No organization has a fixed team which they are working on every single day. There are cluster of teams where they are working in different teams, different projects. So what I'm trying to make a point is that, you know, that structure, that hierarchical pyramid has been disrupted. And now we are all participating in multiple ecosystems, which are quite cluttered and quite connected. So what happens in one part, it gets impacted in the other part as well. And that is a very difficult challenge for leaders to navigate. I think navigating in a pyramid was very much easy, but managing these bigger ecosystem, it's even much more complex.
Charlie, I have to say that I can't agree more on what Bhavna mentioned. And it really is around flexibility that you mentioned, but I would also add that it is also having a clear backbone in terms of how we organize ourselves, and yet having the space to maneuver, having the agility to move. And I do recognize the word agility has been overused for the last few years, but it is about building flexibility around a backbone which remains steadfast, so that we are able to not bend with the winds too much in quest to go forward. And so at the end of the day, it is also about leadership and empowered teams around the structure that we build in order to be flexible. Because without that, we will forever be dependent on a centralized approach in terms of the direction, in terms of the activities, which will not be equipping the teams to function well, successfully in such uncertainties.
No, that's right. Well, we're going to develop the themes that you've just discussed in more detail. But I suppose, as always, it's about what drives us to do what we need to do, and it is the customer. So just to say that what we're going to do, we're going to now just look at the customer, because the customer demands are definitely changing. We're then going to explore the alignment that one has to achieve, and particularly with a focus on the global and local. So you're both working for global organizations, great regional responsibilities. And there's about tying that into what is required or being asked of you to deliver from the center, and how you sort of translate and where you fit in that. And then we'll explore the leadership style. So we'll look at the customer, alignment, global, local, and the leadership style required to meet this organizational need. So let's start with the customer. Any observations? I mean, this is a big subject in its own right, but any observations you would make about the customer trends and its impact you are seeing on what is required of you to deliver that strategic intent? Which one would you like to start and respond to that big question first?
I can give this a shot.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy question, because it is such a broad question which has many answers. But I would say we should always take a few steps back and understand the relevance. And I would share it from my perspective working in Shell. And before we talk about customers, I think we need to talk about what's the purpose and strategy. And if I take Shell, for example, it really is around providing more and cleaner energy solutions. And so we have actually four very clear pillars to which we articulated since last year. And that is about not just generating shareholder value, but also respecting nature, pursuing net zero emissions on the carbon front, and also powering lives. And at the end of the day, it is about providing reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy globally for Shell, from Shell, from my experience. And so, like I mentioned, this goes beyond financials. In the mobility business, and that's where we start talking about customers, our ambition is not just to decarbonize mobility system profitably. It is also about reaching out to the right sectors and the right customers in terms of how we organize, in terms of how we pursue our activities. And we always have the same motto very consistently, and that is making lives' journeys better. And so one of the key things is understanding the customers and then working backwards in terms of how we organize ourselves, and then going forward again in providing the solutions to them in order to help us and help ourselves eventually. So I don't know whether I have gone around a little bit, but I thought it's important to understand a little bit of context, relevance, and then customers for sure is going to be center of the universe.
I suppose, thank you very much indeed for that, Minyi. As we know, it's not just me asking questions, so do ask questions of one another in this whole process. One question though from me to you, Minyi, is that for your industry and for Shell, there has been quite a considerable realignment that's had to take place. And to do that, I think what you're saying is you've then had to look at what is it that the customer wants, but also you've had to look at what is it, where do we sit in terms of that customer journey, for want of a better word. And so therefore translating that, I imagine, has been interesting, because the model was going in one direction and now it's arguably going in another. And that's not an easy thing to achieve. What has it meant for you as a leader to be able to make that sort of translate that, make that happen?
When we talk about climate change, it is not just something to accept, but something to embrace and make the change internally and externally. And why is this important? Because it is important because as a company, we recognize that directionally, we need to decarbonize not just ourselves, but also our customers in order to make this work globally for society. And that's why when we talk about the four pillars, it is not just about making financial returns. It is also about societal needs. It's also about carbon. It's also about environment. And we want to tackle all of them. We don't just want to pick one and ignore the other. And it is a big ask of ourselves to pursue this. But what we believe is taking the step forward and taking the lead. And we may learn and fail along the way, but I think that's perhaps part of the journey in itself. But what does that mean for us eventually? For now, one of the priorities is definitely to decarbonize sustainably, profitably, and to bring everyone else along. And in order for us to do so, it is really important that we understand the customers, we understand the sectors that we are involved in, and we organize ourselves in such a way that we can support ourselves in order to support the customers eventually.
Thank you. Pavna, what's your perspective?
Yeah, I think not drastically different than what Mingyi had said, but I think if I can, summarize it, how I see, there are two things. One, which I see across all the industries and segments, and one specifically for Sodexo. So let me take a dig at what's across common theme, which I notice is emerging as customers need. I think there has been a kind of a rebirth of conscious consumerism. Purpose has been put in heart and center of consumers' consumption. They are asking why your brand, why should I associate with your brand, and what is so special, and does it meet my purpose? Who I stand as a consumer. So I think that question has been asked by consumers, and consumers are looking for that. So I guess that's something which is very generic. Specific to Sodexo, I think the pandemic had changed and impacted how Sodexo used to provide their services to their clients, which is companies, and the consumers, which are the employees. Yeah. Now with hybrid work, with work from home, all these things which were already evolving and this progress was happening, but in last 2 years, it has accelerated the pace of this progress to a different level. And what has happened is our customers are asking for experience, not for just in a service. So I think there is a lot of ask from clients and customers for workplace experience, and that's where Sodexo is changing to provide not only facility management services or food services, but also giving that purpose to the office, making it not just as an office, but really a purposeful offsite. Why are we inviting people to come to the office?
Thank you. Do you both feel you're closer to the customer, or do you feel there's still too much distance?
I think, Charlie, in last few years, customers have become very vocal, out there, open. And I think I do feel for Sodexo, we are constantly connecting with our customers and hearing them, and those pulse surveys, those conversations are bringing us close to hear the perspective. And I guess social media also plays a big role where, you can capture those voices and understand what's the direction which customers are driving.
Before we move on to the next subject, which is going to be alignment, looking at alignment as a regional local leader in times of uncertainty, just a final question about the customer. And obviously one area we haven't discussed is data. So data can tell us a lot about the customer. Quick one in terms of how one navigates that and how one uses it. And there is arguably too much data. Is there or is there not? Your perspective on customer and data.
my quick response on data, Charlie, is that, you know, whatever side you want to look, data does not mean decision. Data has to be married with, right, sort of a foresight and insight. I think, unfortunately, if I try to look for a particular segment with a preconceived idea, I will find that data. Whatever in my assumption or in my ideas, you know, we will find that data in that direction. So I think data is good, but you have to have some hypothesis formulate, and then you can test that with the data. But if you're just leveraging and driving and being on the driving seat just with data, I don't think so you will be making very wise decisions as a leader.
Thank you. Minyi.
I would say that clearly data is important. It is about how we filter them. And I would distinguish between areas that we are familiar and areas that we are pursuing. And the reason why I say that is because if you ask me about, let's call it data related to how I run my current business, I am very familiar. But it is data that is about future businesses that I am curious about. I am worried and about the factual evidence rather than hypothesis. So Bhavna's point is crucial, because when do we need hypothesis to go forward, and when do we need real facts in order to drive decision? I think that's where it makes the difference, especially in businesses that we are pursuing in its nascent stage. An example that real data is important is in electrification. When we talk about what we want to do in e-mobility, for example, we have some hypothesis because we don't have all the answers, but for all the important data that are in available, we need to extract them in order to make good decisions going forward, at least for the short term. So it's a fine balance about what kind of data that we should be pursuing and analyzing in the short term in order to make long-term decisions as well.
Thank you. Let's move on to alignment. And obviously you both are responsible for what might be classified as a region, but it's by no means a small region. And each local market has differing needs and requirements. There's the strategic intent, and then there is the requirement to be able to apply that locally. You sit, both of you probably, between the two. What does it feel like to be sitting where you are, and how does one manage and achieve that alignment? Bhavna, if you'd like to start.
Being in the local, I think you are so close to operations. It's, you know, there is always a fire. There is always a firefighting mode. There is always something which keeps you busy. And being in the regional and in the global function, I think you have that ability to detach yourself from today and then think for what's going to happen tomorrow and after that. So I think at the organization level, you know, these relationships are very meaningfully designed, but unfortunately when things don't work, you know, there can be tension between local, regional and global relationships. And this does happen many times. And I think COVID, it has shown us that, you know, local countries should be more empowered to take quick decision-making in the current context with things are changing faster than global and regional can make sense of things, because there is too much dynamism. But what can make this relationship work is a trust. So I think trust is the biggest currency which should be traded between local and the regional and the global leaders. And I think this is something which you cannot build in a wartime. You can't build it in a crisis. This is something which you build over peacetime, and it does take in continuous intention of both sides and a lot of effort. So I will say that, you know, it has to be intentional. It needs to be worked upon every single day. But once you find that balance, I think only those organizations will succeed and thrive today and tomorrow who can make this relationship work.
Trust and empowerment are key. And I would say two things on this front, because one hand, it is about how we organize. And I believe that it is important that we do it in such a way that it is a small global and strong local. And we got to recognize that and build that and strengthen that. The other one is about one team. And it sounds like a buzzword. It is a buzzword and more, because the way we have done so and pretty successfully is making this into equal ownership, but empowering the local teams, the local teams across the world to have that authority and accountability in terms of execution, in terms of primacy of roles. And this is crucial for our success over the last few years, because we use small global in order to replicate lessons and in order to pathfind, and we use strong local to execute, to implement, and to deliver. And as well, what is important is having the right set of strategy to underpin this. Because if we have the same North Star, then trust and empowerment and accountability at the right levels, both globally and locally, will enable us a good track record and also confidence of delivery going forward. So many aspects, I would say, but sharing this in terms of our experience.
Just to give an example to further flesh out what you were saying, Minyi, what are the challenges that you've found and you've managed to, or you may or may not, you're probably going through them now and trying to overcome it, or something that you feel you're getting there in terms of overcoming it? Because I think you referenced earlier on, Minyi, you're learning as we go along the way. And it's not only an organization that is pivoting such as yours in the way that it is, but every organization has to acknowledge that's what they're doing. So how are you learning as you go? What's the best way to get that right in terms of fulfilling, but also learning?
Yeah, I think two things. It is probably fundamental and probably obvious, but I would say that number one is we need a consistent set of values to support what we are trying to do strategically. So that is the starting point. And in Shell, it is three simple values. It is about honesty, integrity, and respect. If the values are right, it enables that trust and empowerment. But these are just values.
Yeah.
The second thing is to stay the course on strategy. And I mentioned about our strategy, which I will not elaborate further. Mm. Last but not least is about action. You see, all talk is not going to help. So it's about organizing ourselves, having the same beliefs, same North Star, and then organizing ourselves to empower the local teams for execution and also to learn using the global structure to replicate and to exercise certain authorities which are important centrally. But as light touch as we can globally and yet empower the front line. And that's why it's so important for us not just to talk about trust and empowerment, but also to welcome diversity and creativity in such a way that it actually builds on each other. And that's something that I'm proud of, because we have achieved a good track record over the last 5 years of delivery. And it's not just strategy and desktop discussions, but also taking actions at a local level.
Which leads us nicely onto, I suppose, our third subject we said we were going to take ourselves through. And that was leading on to leadership and looking at how best we equip ourselves, yourselves, and others around you. We quite often see reference to situational leadership, and which references the things you've both spoken about, which is about being fluid. It's about understanding what the purpose, values, and intent are, and then whatever the situation you find yourself in, responding accordingly and using those as a reference point and as an anchor. What do you think, how would you describe your leadership style and how does one achieve that intent? Bhavna?
Charlie, I think for me, my leadership style is a combination of two aspects. I think I mentioned one is, you know, my ability to give and set that direction and giving the energy to team. I work on these two things intentionally in my conversation. And I think setting directions and giving them what needs to be done, I think this is something I co-build with them. But the second part, which is energy, this is something I consciously, every day, intentionally work on my own self. How do I recharge myself? How do I get that capacity when I show up? I don't look depleted, because as a leader, my responsibility is to uplift and inflate the people's energy, not to deflate. For me, I think leadership is not a position, it's a responsibility. And as a leader, I think in these times, our biggest responsibility and our limited capacities also able to give the right level of energy to people. We can't be with them all the time. We can't walk those difficult paths and conversation and be there virtually. It has its own limitations. I think for me, that's the most important aspect, which I'm consciously working on and always try to do.
That ability to maintain that energy. What little techniques would you advise people to undertake to do that?
I am not in capacity to advise, because there are days when I succeed and there are days when I recede. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I wake up with the intention that I'm going to try again.
Yeah.
So that's as simple. And I think I would say that, you know, just taking care of yourself, whatever way you think you want to take care of yourself, is absolutely essential, whether going for a walk alone without your digital devices, finding, you know, 10 minutes of, you know, peace time where you just want to be with yourself, just to recharge. Imagine your chair is a charger and you can sit on it and charge yourself. But I think just spending those little moments where you take a conscious pause, just to recharge yourself. So I think those are little things which I do. For me, my walks are extremely important. I go for a walk in the morning and in the evening. Yeah. That I can charge myself and recharge again.
Thank you very much indeed for sharing that, Bhavna. Min Yi, let me share. Let's look at this. Like, how do you feel it's evolved, Min Yi, your leadership style? Because you're both clearly very, very capable, and there's a certain calmness that you're both able to extend to people. And I felt it in our discussion. How do you get to that sort of state of place? And I know you're not saying you're perfect by any way, shape, or form, and it's a constant amount of work that has to be undertaken. But how have you got to where you feel you've got to, Min Yi?
Charlie, I don't have a silver bullet, but what I can share with you is certainly something true to my heart. Firstly, is I'm always in pursuit of fun. It sounds flippant, but it really is at the core of what I'm seeking. So I hope to be able to extend that to my team, especially to my direct reports and my direct organization. The second point is really about growth. At the end of the day, there must be an element of growth, whether it is professionally or personally. There must be room for us to be able to do so, not just for my team, but also for myself. And so the adventure continues, and I haven't looked back since I've been working in Shell for the last 13 years. Last but not least, I would say I hope my team and myself continue to dream big and be bold. And I always preach about the fact that there should be no constraints for us to be world-class. So if we are able to do that in the course of our job scope, then we can write our own job description and make it even bigger than what we have been gifted. So a couple of personal approach to this. Again, everyone has a different style, but I would say I would ultimately like us to be adaptive, my leaders and myself, to different situations, because no one situation will be the same and we don't even know what will happen tomorrow or next week. So we got to be adaptable, but we must always, I suppose, be in pursuit of some growth and fun.
Wonderful. It's not good. To some extent, I think it's always good when in a conversation or in a meeting or in any situation to conclude on a high. And clearly you've both done that, for which I'm very grateful for you to have done. But a final question is, given what we have discussed, and our subject was navigating complexity as a senior leader at a global and local level, and us having, and you having not met one another before, and us discussing this subject, what do you think is your takeaway from our podcast conversation today?
I can go first, and I think Mingyi just spoke about it, and he spoke about two things. He spoke about, how to build that one team. He said having those consistent values and really staying on course of strategy and then execution. I think that was one of my key takeaways. And second, which I couldn't go without, is bringing that fun and growth element, which he spoke. And as he was speaking, I could really see that, he's really in for that, totally. So that's my biggest takeaway. Thanks, Mingyi, for that.
And Mingyi, your
takeaway? My reflection. Charlie, thanks for that. And Bhavna, you did trigger a thought about humility. And I think what is important is to cast away any hubris and to have this self-driven learner mindset. Yeah. I think that's important, especially in the uncertain times that we see now. And we should actually acknowledge that times would be uncertain in some way, in some form or not, or some shape or form. At any time. And so that's one aspect that we need to continue to have and possess and build. The other piece is about being hard-nosed and being far-sighted at the same time. It's difficult to always be hard-nosed, but it's important to find the right balance about certain things and have a heart to that front too. You can be hard-nosed and still have a heart. And at the same time, continue to be far-sighted in what we want to do and not just do things for the short term. It's always easy to do so. And again, it's easy to say and hard to do, but that will be my little pitch as a summary.
Thank you both so very much indeed for bringing, I think, a lot of insight, but not only that, also joy to the subject. But also I'd like to celebrate, in actual fact, it's through virtual that we've been able to have this conversation. Getting physically in front of one another would have been, as in we will do it, but would have been a little bit more challenging. So let's also celebrate the joy of virtual and the wonderful insight you brought today. So thank you both very, very much indeed.
Thank you, Charlie, for having us. Thanks, Mingyi.
Thank you very much.